Lord, as we have read and heard this morning the account in the book of Acts of Christ's ascension, on this Ascension Sunday, Lord, it's been over 40 days since the tomb was found empty. And Lord, we've had Jesus walking and talking among us, and now he has gone to heaven to be with you. And now we need to realize what our job is here on earth. Just as the disciples, those first followers, saw him ascend into heaven and then retreated back to the upper room to sort out, you know, what he had taught them to do, what they were to do next. Lord, we are that today. We are waiting for your marching orders. We're waiting to hear a message from you for what we should be doing as we leave this worship service today. So we pray, O God, that our hearts and our minds will be open to receive a word from you that will help us be more faithful in our discipleship. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love it or hate it, we live by our calendars. And our calendar might not look just like this, but there was a time when many of us carried them in our pockets, briefcases, or purses, and probably a smaller version thereof. But paper calendars showed us when we had to be where. The thing was, sometimes we had one at home, sometimes we carried one with us, sometimes we had one at work, and we had three or four calendars that we had to always sync together and match up and make sure that we had to check all of our calendars before we committed ourselves to something. But then came the digital revolution, and many people traded in their leather-bound planners for PDAs, or personal digital assistants. And then Steve Jobs and the people at Apple combined the PDA, the cell phone, and the MP3 player into a smartphone. And while we might have left our paper calendars or electronic PDAs at home on a Sunday morning, today most of us have our calendars with us in worship if we carry a phone, a cell phone, or a smartphone. Digital calendars can do things that our paper calendars never could. They remind us of things we need to do based on our time and or our location. For example, we might say, Siri, Cortana, Alexa, Google, depending on what we have in our possession, remind me when it is time to leave for my doctor's appointment. And then based on our location and the traffic, our phone can tell us when it's time to leave. Once we put an appointment into our phones, we never have to look at it again. We can simply wait for that little buzz to interrupt whatever we are doing to remind us of what we need to attend to right away or later in the day. Whether it's digital, paper, or in our heads, our calendars tend to drive large portions of our lives. Truth is that we rely on our calendars to organize our lives. From the boardroom to the classroom, it is hard to get by without some idea of what will be happening and when. So imagine how the very first followers of Jesus must have felt about his answer when they asked what was going to happen next. This is the nature of the conversation in today's scripture found in Acts 1. Basically, Jesus is having a final debriefing before leaving on a trip, a vertical and heavenly one. And of course, his followers have questions. Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? The disciples asked. The question makes sense. They had been on an emotional roller coaster with Jesus recently. Thinking back for 3 years, they had followed him. They heard him talk frequently about a special time to come. He started his ministry telling them that the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, was at hand in their presence. They listened as he told stories about banquets, mustard seeds, and treasure buried in a field that he said were ways of describing this new reality to come. They were with him When he entered Jerusalem several weeks earlier, they saw the crowd waving the palm branches and shouting their praises. By riding a donkey into the city, Jesus was fulfilling a prophecy that announced God's rule and reign. It was a huge statement. Surely, they thought, this must be the time. At the Last Supper, Jesus seemed to confirm it, for he said, "I will not drink the fruit of the vine again until I drink it with you in my Father's kingdom." Next stop, the kingdom of God, they must have thought. But instead of a coronation, there was a crucifixion. And it appeared to be over. Their hopes were dashed. The dream of the restoration of the kingdom seemed to vanish. And they must have been asking themselves, what now? And then, as quickly as it was over, it was back on. Jesus is alive. Hope is not lost. Certainly the kingdom must be coming. And after 40 days of being with the post-resurrection Jesus, during which he continued to teach them about God's kingdom, he calls a very special meeting. Expectations must have been extremely high. What was he going to do? What was Jesus going to say? It had to be the time for him to announce how the kingdom of God will come on earth as it is in heaven, just as he taught them to pray. The question must have hung in the air that day, like questions saturate the space among and between us in some of our interactions. When the company calls an all-staff meeting during a down economy, everyone wants to know, are there going to be layoffs? When the person we're dating says, we need to talk, we want to know, are we breaking up? And when a teenage child enters a room, head down, and says, Mom, Dad, our heart rate accelerates, and we want to know, is something wrong? For the gathered followers that day, the tension is almost palpable. Now? We want to get this on our calendars. If not now, then when? They want to pencil in the kingdom day. They don't want to miss it. They want to know which week they need to clear for this world-altering event. They want to know the deadline so they'll be sure to be ready. To these questions, Jesus gives a bewildering answer. That's none of your concern. He actually says it more politely, but that's the gist of it. Let me worry about the timing, he seems to say. You just get to work on what you're supposed to do. And then Jesus is gone. The disciples and the rest of the followers are left bewildered, staring into the sky. Their questions still unanswered to their satisfaction. The disciples have a scheduling problem. And for them and for those of us who live by our calendars, Jesus' attitude is frustrating. It's hard to leave things in the hand of God. The saying was, let go and let God. That's difficult to do. It's difficult to let God be control of all the details. It's challenging to trust in divine providence, to be faithful to promises that have been made. How are we to respond? It's not for us to know the times and the seasons. Really? We're programmed to know exactly where we're going to be every moment of every day. How are we supposed to function with so little information? The problem is that the kingdom of God does not fit onto our calendars. Jesus does not give us a list of tasks that we can put in our phones and check them off as we've accomplished them. Instead, he calls his followers to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The timing concerning any ultimate physical expression of the reign of God on earth, he says, is for him to worry about. And in any event, he himself, he admits, he doesn't even know. He had already told his disciples earlier, before the crucifixion, maybe they forgot, that, quote, about that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father, end quote. Our concern is to live into the mission of the church and to the call of God in our lives today. It's not about getting ready for some later date. Our role is to be the people of God every day, wherever we are located, and to do what God wants us to do right now. We are not cramming for a final exam. We are not trying to meet a deadline before the supervisor in the sky calls us in for our performance review. This is the here and now. It's an everyday issue. Jesus calls his followers, both those on the hill that day and those of us sitting in the pews today, to live for him at home, at work, at school, in our traveling, while running errands, and wherever else life takes us. That's what Jesus is calling, to be living for him, no matter what circumstance we are in. This includes our calendars and our schedules. It's time to take our calendars, no matter what form they are in, and to consider the time and the activities noted there, and to do something to put them entirely in the service of God and for God's work. This means, of course, including time for worship, prayer and Bible study, performing random acts of kindness, being faithful to our relationship responsibilities, and being flexible enough to respond when God interrupts. And God does interrupt us at times. Sometimes we may even feel that God's messing with our plans and calls us, for example, like Philip and Ananias, as recorded later in the book of Acts, to minister in some totally unexpected way. That's our God of surprises. We may think we've got God all figured out, and all of a sudden God comes to us in some other way and says, I want you to be doing this instead, or in addition to. Whether we've been following Jesus most of our lives, or have just begun our faith journey with him, we're going to have a lot of scheduling problems. We need to get used to it and get over it. It's part of the thrill and the challenge that we call discipleship, following Jesus Christ, being his student, being his hands and his feet and his voice here on earth. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, it would be delightful to spend our days gazing after you up into the heavens, trying to look beyond the mystery to understand where you have gone and when you will return. But instead, it's time for us to be very down to earth. Time to be about the mission that you have entrusted to us. Prepare us with your Spirit's precious gifts, that through us our neighbors may experience your love. Equip our fellowship with strong muscles, tough minds, and glad hearts, which delight in serving people in need. Bless us with vision, that we may discover creative ways to extend your compassion to every land, so that when you return, it will be to a people prepared. We ask this in your name. Amen.